Good morning, New Philly Hongdae. How are you guys doing? Good. All right. Okay. It's always an honor to preach in New Philly. But today it's a special honor for me to be preaching here, at New Philly Hongdae to finish off the Women's Ministry Month. When Pastor Christian first asked me to preach, he talked to me over the phone and I was freaking out, to be honest. I was like, oh, I don't know about this. But the thing is, God knows me very well. And so, you know, in the beginning of this year, he was kind of giving me hints that I would actually be preaching in Seoul at least once this year. And so when Pastor Christian called me and asked me to preach, I was like, okay, he gave me 30 seconds to think about it, but didn't take that long. But yeah, I believe the Lord has a timely word for you today. So if you're ready to receive the word, I want you to say amen. Okay, why don't we all turn to 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. I'll be reading from the ESV version. Actually, why don't we all read together? Okay, this is a very familiar verse to all of us. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Okay, so this is a familiar verse. And here in 1 John 4:18, the Apostle John, he touches upon the relationship between fear and love as we commonly understand and interpret this verse. However, not only is he describing the power of God's love to cast out fear, but he describes God's love as perfect, or in other words, mature. And the end result that he is going for as fear is cast out of us is that we be perfected in love, or we be made mature in love. And so not only is this verse about fear and love, but it's about maturity. And so today I want to start off by talking a bit about maturity. You know, how many of you here, you would consider yourselves to be mature? You can raise your hand. Come on. Wow, nobody? Oh, Louis, good. Our brother Louis is mature. I thought more people would raise their hands. I think I'm pretty mature. You know, if I give a kind of honest assessment of myself, I would say I'm pretty mature. Okay, but maybe me saying this means I'm not mature. Okay, but anyways, I would like to think I'm mature. And let's be real, we all would like to think that we are mature. Which is why when we find somebody who's a little bit more immature than us, then we like to kind of compare ourselves with them, like whether it's our roommate or a fellow colleague or whoever it is, and we're like, you feel kind of good about yourself, you know? Like, I'm more mature than him, like, you know? And so a maturity is desirable in our eyes, and not only is it desirable, but God actually commands us to be mature. In Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, you therefore must be perfect. In other words, mature, as your heavenly Father is perfect. But you see, immaturity is really unattractive. Would you agree? You know, you meet a really cute guy. You know, I met a cute guy. But, you know, you meet a cute guy and then... Okay, you meet a cute guy and you're like, wow, you know, he's so cute. He has a great personality. And then you sit down and you start talking to him. And all of a sudden, the things that he's saying is just like, oh my goodness, like he is so immature. Have you ever met people like that? And then it's such a turnoff. Like you do not want to start dating that kind of person because he's so full of himself. On top of that, he's a mama's boy. Okay? Oh, no, 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 no. Okay, you don't even go there. Okay? So no matter how cute and how amazing the person is, immaturity is such a turnoff. Okay? But the thing about maturity that you have to understand is that it's relative to the stage of life that you're in. Okay? Maturity is not measured according to a fixed standard. And this means that what was considered mature in one stage of your life, when you reach a new level of maturity, and you're continuing in the same actions of the past season, then you're actually immature. Let's say you're married, but you're acting like a single. Okay? You're immature. Let's say you are graduated now. You're not a student. You're not a college student anymore, but you're acting like a college student. you're immature. Okay, it's when your actions don't match up with the level of maturity that you should be walking in, that's when you're considered immature. Okay, so when we look at new Philly babies, you know, so cute, like we have, you guys have Shiloh here, who else? Jonathan, right? And, you know, in Busan, we have Ethan and Karis and Zion, and they're so cute, you know, they're so adorable, you know, even though they do things that, you know, if you really think about it, it's not that adorable. Like, they drool all over the place, you know, they poop as they're eating, okay? What else? Like, I remember Karis, you know, when she became a toddler and she could kind of eat on her own, a lot of the food didn't end up in her mouth, okay? It ended up, like, everywhere else, on the ground, you know, on her face and everywhere. Okay, it's not that cute, especially, you know, when they scream a lot. They scream for no reason. They keep screaming. But, you know, usually we're like, oh, you know, a baby, you know, it's so cute. But, you know, the thing is, when Shiloh or Ethan or Olivia grow up and they're still doing the same things, it's no longer cute. It's no longer acceptable. And that's just wrong, okay? And one time, I remember back in our, I was part of the Itaewon church as well. I did the church plant there. And I remember Pastor Christian came and he was preaching a sermon. In the middle of it, he said something that horrified people. And I was debating if I should repeat it or not, but I'm just going to. Okay? He has changed a lot since then. Let me just make that clarification. But in the middle of his sermon, all of a sudden he says, babies contribute nothing to society. And there was this gasp, like, like, oh my goodness, how could he say that, you know? And all the women were like, oh my gosh, like, what is he saying? But you know, actually, if you think about it, it's kind of true. You know, when they're a baby, they really don't contribute that much to society. But actually, it's true, but the ability to contribute to society is not an expectation that we can have for these babies at their level of maturity. But if 20 years later, they are still contributing nothing to society and just goo-goo gaga-ing, right, all the time, okay, we can look at them and say, you're immature. You need to go out, get a job, okay, get a life, and create and produce according to your God-given giftings. So, maturity is something that we all value. You know, I've never met a single person who starts off the new year saying, I will not grow at all this year. I'm not going to make any kind of improvements to my life. I'm going to make the same mistakes. I'm going to be as ignorant and foolish as I was this year, this last year. Okay, so I've met immature people, but no one lives life with the goal to be immature. In fact, whether you are a believer or not, okay, maturity is a goal that we all aspire to. We want to be mature. In fact, I believe that God has wired us to grow and not to remain stagnant, but He has given us a desire to reach our full potential. But if there's one thing that hinders us from moving to a new level of maturity, as well as acting in accordance with the maturity level that we should be in, it's fear. Okay? Fear sabotages our ability to grow and to move forward. Fears and insecurities paralyze us and rob us of our momentum in life. And sometimes I believe that this is why we see so many lopsided maturity. You're mature in one area of your life. Let's say you're mature in how you handle your finances. But then the way that you relate with people, there's complete immaturity because you have a fear of intimacy. Okay, this is lopsided maturity. But God desires for us to reach maturity in every area of our lives. Now, fear will cause you to react to your situations rather than respond in faith, which leads to clarity and purpose. Fear will also make you fruitless and ineffective. Why? Because according to 1 John 4:18, love and fear cannot coexist. But fruitfulness is always a fruit. Fruitfulness is always a fruit. Fruitfulness is always an effect of intimacy. It's always a result of intimacy. And so I believe that fear is really Satan's favorite tactic against believers to cause them to become stagnant, to cause them to become ineffective. As Pastor Anna preached at Friday Fire, to cause us to nibble on the blessings of God rather than to feast on the fullness of who He is. The fear will slow down your maturity and cause you to forfeit the blessings and the promises of God. Okay, so once again, 1 John 4:18 says, whoever fears has not been perfected in love. You know, this word perfected, it actually means to finish or to be made mature, to carry through completely. So whoever fears has not been perfected in love. In other words, whoever fears has yet to be completed, yet to be made mature. And for you to be made mature in the love of Christ, it is necessary to outgrow your fears and insecurities. So even when we look at the developmental process of children, you know, I looked it up on WebMD, and they list some of these fears that children have that they have to overcome at different stages of their development. So when they're a toddler, they fear large looming objects, separation, and strangers. So Pastor Herman, who's the worship pastor of our Busan campus, he has a beautiful daughter. Him and Grace have a beautiful daughter named Karis. And when Karis was very young, maybe like a year old, you know, I would just hang out with Grace, and we would just go to Shinsegae department store. And, you know, we take the elevator, because it's hard, you know, carrying the baby around. And we take the elevator, and I walk in with Karis and Grace into the elevator. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, she was totally fine. But all of a sudden, she just starts to wail. And I was so confused. I was like, why is she crying? You know, I looked at Grace like, what's going on? And then it was only after we got off the elevator that Grace explained. She was like, there was a white person in the elevator. And so that's when we realized that Karis has had this fear of white faces, Caucasian faces. And even when Todd, our brother Todd, who was sent as our Icha team to Busan, when he first came, you know, actually they joined us for our retreat, our leadership retreat, and we got into the same van, and that was the first time he met Karis. And Karis was on my lap, and I was like, oh, Karis, Todd Samchun, right? And she looks at him, and she starts to just bawl, like, she just freaked out completely. And the thing is, Todd's like, you know, he has those big eyes, like, it was like, hi, Karis, you know? And she was just like, ah, you know? And it took so much to calm her down. Like, she was just, you know, so scared. But the thing is, right now, she's actually fine. You know, she's fine with Todd. She's fine with our sister Rosie, who she was also scared of. Okay, she's completely fine now with white people. And so, you know, you outgrow your fears, different stages, right? Fears during school years. I thought this was funny how fears during school years is snakes and spiders. And I'm pretty sure some of you have not yet outgrown that fear. I'm a teacher. I'm a professor at a university in Busan. I teach English to freshmen and sophomore kids. And sometimes, like, during our class time, like, bugs fly in, right? Bugs fly in. And one time I was teaching, and all of a sudden I hear the girls scream. And there was this bug on the ground, and all the desks, they were all pulling the desk away from the bug. And I looked at the boy that I was kind of like helping, and I was like, Sehun, get it. Like, kill it. And he was like, teacher, I am afraid. Like, that was the most, like, perfect English I have heard from him. I was like, wow. I was so impressed. I was like, your English is really good. You know? But all the guys were just, like, pulling away. And it was only, like, after 5 minutes that this girl, she's, like, super tomboyish. She's a Busan girl, right? She's like, they're like, 죽여라, right? You're like, kill it. 죽여라. And then that's when she was like, she comes and she's like, stamps on it, and then the bug, you know, of course, die. But, you know, when I see that, I was like, man, this boy has not yet outgrown this fear of spiders. But, you know, I want to ask you, what are the fears that you have yet to outgrow? You know, what are the fears that you are facing in your life, insecurities that you've had, that you've been holding on to all your life, thinking that it's okay? You know, it's okay to be a little fearful. It's okay to, you know, everyone has fear. Everyone's a little insecure here and there. It's just a part of life, right? But today I feel like the challenge that God has for you is it's time to outgrow your fears. Because as the Lord is calling you into a deeper level of intimacy with Him and a higher level of maturity, He's saying those fears are no longer cute. You know, it's only cute when you're at that level. But when you are outgrowing, when you have to outgrow those fears, it's not cute anymore. It's no longer acceptable at the new level that you are called to operate in. New opportunities that He wants to bring into your life. You know, the fears that were acceptable in your past season is no longer acceptable now in your new season. So this fear of man that you've been holding on to all your life, for you to experience the fullness of what God has for you, that fear needs to go. The fear of failure that's been holding you back from taking steps of faith to possess the promises of God and to step into your God-given destiny, there's no longer room for those fears. The fear of lack that's been paralyzing you from sowing generously so that you could reap generously, there's no room for that fear. The grace has lifted for you to keep your pet insecurities around. You know, we feel like insecurity sounds a lot better than fear, doesn't it? I say that all the time too. I'm like, oh, I'm just a little insecure, you know? And we treat it like it's just a minor problem, like a cough. You know, it doesn't kill you, right? A cough won't kill you, and it's just a little uncomfortable. So we treat our insecurities like it's just a little bit uncomfortable, but not something that we want to actually get rid of. And you know, last year it was interesting because God started to kind of put His finger on one of my fears that I've been holding on to all my life. And this was a fear of vulnerability. And, you know, I'm actually really, really good at listening to people and accepting people. My ex-roommate Anna is nodding her head like, yes. but, you know, I'm really good at accepting other people's vulnerability. But when it came to me being vulnerable, you know, I really sucked at it. Like, I wouldn't really speak about myself and the things that I'm going through. And really at the root of it was a fear that I would be rejected if I really showed my inner self. And, you know, when God's kind of like highlighted this fear to me, I was like, oh my goodness, like this is really robbing me of intimacy with people. And so I started to, in true nerd fashion, I bought books about vulnerability. That's me. I buy books. I was like, surely there is someone who's gone through this and knows more. So I bought like 3 books about vulnerability and started to read it. And God started to really take me through a process of overcoming this fear. And after kind of this whole journey of overcoming this fear was when He started to give me, you know, more of a heart for marriage too. Because I realized, you know, if you're not vulnerable, if you don't learn how to be vulnerable, like how are you going to get married, right? And that's when Pastor Aaron all of a sudden calls me and says, hey, you want to go on a blind date? And so really, God is funny. Because, you know, He takes away, He removes a fear. Why? Because He wants to usher you into a new season. He wants to usher you into a new place. He wants to broaden your land and expand your territory. The limitations that you place on your life, as He removes those limitations and the ceilings, what He's doing is He is giving you a broader land. He's saying, this is where you're supposed to live. This is your inheritance. Not this little confined space, but this. Look at all of this. And I really believe that, you feel home, that what God wants to do is He wants to bring you into a broad land. And so what I want to do right now is just to give you some ways to overcome your fears and to walk in greater maturity. Okay, so the first thing that I have for you is invite the perfect love of God into your fears. So in 1 John 4:18, the Apostle John, he talks about the perfect love of God that casts out all fear. Have you ever wondered why John uses the word perfect? No, it's not like the powerful love of God, the unfailing love of God, the unfathomable love of God, but it's the perfect love of God. Okay? So he uses this word perfect, which means brought to its end, finished, complete, or full grown and mature. You see, the love of God is perfect, not in the sense that we usually understand perfection. Like, when I think of perfection, I think of, like, perfect skin, like, flawless, no acne, like I'm struggling with right now, no blackheads, whiteheads, whatever, you know, skin problems, but flawless, right? But perfection in the Word of God means completed. It means mature. It's not so much about flawlessness as it is about like a runner who finishes the race. Okay? So God's love has been finished. It's been accomplished. It's a love that wants nothing and lacks nothing. You see, there's no part two to God's love. There's no sequel. There's no remake. It's been done. It's been finished. And so when Jesus said it is finished upon the cross, it's not just like, oh, I've been holding my breath and now it's time to die. Like, it's finished, right? And I'm going to see everyone in 3 days. That's not the it's finished that he was talking about. But it was a declaration that in the laying down of his life, his love had reached its full extent. That his love had run its full course. That the fullness of his love had been given to man. And that the love of God had been fulfilled and completed in the sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ upon the cross. It is finished meant that he had paid our debt to the fullest measure, so that now there is no condemnation and no fear of punishment in Christ Jesus. And it is this perfect love, a love that's been finished, a love that's been completed, that casts out all fear. See, the greatest weapon to your fears is the perfect and complete love of God, because fear is always about lack. It's always about want. And the pain that comes from lack and want. And so in every area of your fear, God is saying, I want to touch it with my perfect love, that where in which there is no lack, in which there is no want. And so how do you overcome your fears? You invite the perfect love of God to the place of your fears. Because 1 Corinthians 13:10 says, when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When the perfect love of God comes, the partial, the place of lack and want will come to an end. Your fears will flee, just like darkness flees when the light shines. You know, what is it that you fear? Because Jesus has already completed the race. He's already overcome everything that you fear. Jesus has already gained the victory. You know, we're saying about it, he's the champion of heaven. He is indeed the champion of heaven. He's the one who has made the way on your behalf. You know, so the love of God is not only complete, but it is completing you. The love of God not only wants nothing and lacks nothing, but it's bringing you into a place where you want nothing and you lack nothing. When God says that whoever fears has not been perfected in love, you know, I took this as kind of a rebuke, like, oh man, I have fear. That means I'm immature and lacking. But God started to change my perspective, and he said, it's not a rebuke, but it's a promise. It's a promise that in every area of your fears, in every area that you feel lack, I'm going to come with my love. I'm going to fill you up, and I'm going to meet you in that place with a deeper and far more powerful love. Okay, our next point, how to overcome your fears. Actively obey in spite of your fears. If you turn to Judges chapter 6, if you want to, you can kind of turn there and follow along with the story. But it's a very familiar story of Gideon. And you know, Gideon was a man who had a lot of fears and insecurities. He came from a tribe called Manasseh. And this was a tribe that actually suffered the most from the Midianites, who were oppressing the Israelites. And from the tribe of Manasseh, Gideon was like the poorest, from the poorest family. And from his family, he was also the least. And so when God comes to him, he's in the wine press. You guys know the story. And he's hiding from the Midianites. And God comes to him. He's like, you know, you're a mighty warrior. And the Lord says to him, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. And then, you know, Gideon had no problem just kind of telling God, like, God, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And a couple of verses down, Gideon asked the Lord for a sign, because of the fear and insecurity that he has. And then that night, the Lord comes to him again. I want you to get this. The Lord commands him to pull down the altar of Baal that his father has set up to destroy his father's idols and to build an altar to the Lord. And it says in verse 27, so Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. Okay, so once again, you see, he is a man who struggles with fear and insecurity. And the story continues. He fleeces God twice. You know, he lays out the feast, asks God for two more signs. And then the night before the battle, God says to him, God knows him well. He says, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Pura, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. And then the Bible continues and says that he did go down with Pura, his servant. What does that mean? It means that he was afraid. He did need a further confirmation, in spite of all the confirmations that God had already given him. And God is so gracious, isn't he? I mean, usually we focus on how Gideon's so scared, you know, he's so fearful, he flees God twice, like that's a no-no, you know, don't flees God. You know, we focus on that, but let's focus a little bit on the Father's compassion towards him. How the Father knows him so well, knows the fear that's inside of him, is willing to take him through the process of bringing him out of those fears. And the thing about Gideon that we need to see here, because if God's part is to comfort you and to reassure you of his presence, just like he did for Gideon, there's your part as well. And your part is to choose to act in faith. It doesn't matter how you feel, whether you're, you know, completely free from all the fears that you feel or not. Your part is to act in faith in the midst of your fears. Don't wait for your fears to die down before you take steps forward. But just like God said, just like the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, go in the strength that you have. Go in the might that you have. You see, Gideon acted in obedience, even if it meant tearing down his father's idols at night and not during the day. He still obeyed God. He didn't disobey the Lord. He didn't do it like in the most like brave heart kind of way. You know, it still showed that he was pretty fearful, but he still moved forward in spite of his fears. And Judges 7:15 says, as soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped, and he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand. And so here Gideon is bold and confident in the Lord, but he would never have come to this place of courage and fearlessness if he had stalled and waited and chosen to shrink back in fear. And so courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to stand firm and to move forward in the midst of your fears. The fear is overcome not before you take steps forward, but as you take steps forward. You know, for me to be preaching here, it's really a testimony, because I used to have intense stage fright. Like, it was to the point where I actually went to Torch Seminary and I studied Christian counseling, but I started off actually as a Master's of Divinity with Marcus and Pastor Marcus and Myung-ha and all of them. And I changed over to Christian counseling. And the main reason was, yes, I was interested in counseling, but another reason was I really didn't want to take the preaching class. Like, I really didn't want to take it. And so I switched over. But God is funny, because as soon as I graduated from Torch, I went to Busan on the Busan church plant. And I think one of the first like months there, I got an email from Pastor Christian. And I remember I was sitting on the couch reading this email, and he says, all community care pastors, you must take the preaching seminar. And I was like, you know? And for a split second, I debated, should I leave New Philly? It was real, God. No, I'm really serious. I debated. I was like, I think I might have to leave. I had this intense fear of public speaking. And, you know, I could have left, right? That's a choice that I could have made. But something about Pastor Christian is like, I can't say no. So I was just like, okay, I'll do it. And I just did it. And, you know, I didn't go on my first preaching experience. It wasn't after I had overcome all my fears. It was in the midst of it that I went up and I started to preach. And as I started to preach in the midst of my fears, I started to feel the Holy Spirit come upon me and the power of God come upon me, the anointing of God come upon me. And that's when I started to, the fear started to be removed. And now I'm here. You know? And too many times we wait around. We wait around till we get this supernatural injection of courage. And then I can go forward. Guess what, guys? That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. But you need to take your steps forward and allow God to meet you in that place with His power and His anointing. Go in the might that you have. Go and don't just wait. Don't become stagnant, but go. Arise and go. And I don't mean in the flesh, okay? Let me just put that out there. Don't just like start doing stuff out of like, you know, your foolishness. Okay? But what I'm saying is when the Holy Spirit is prompting you, move with Him. Even in the midst of your fears. Because He will not fail you. My final point is fast fear. Fast fear. And this is the fast, you know, the word fast as in fasting food. You're not like quick fear or anything like that. So I think it was like a month ago, I was kind of like folding laundry or doing something really random around the house. And all of a sudden I hear God say, you need to fast. And I was like, oh no. Right? You guys ever experienced that? God's like, you need to fast. And you're like, please God. I think I'm fine. But it was like, fast. You need to do a fast. And I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden He said, but it's not a food fast. I want you to fast fear. And you know, the Hebrew word that, you know, where we derive the word fast, it comes from to cover over the mouth. And so what that means is, you know, a lot of times we fast food. And when we fast food, we don't allow certain foods to enter into our mouth. We cover our mouth. Or when it comes to media, we don't allow our eyes to see certain things. And so, just like when we fast solid foods, we cover our mouths and we abstain from certain foods from entering into our mouth, fasting fear, it first of all deals with what we allow our minds to imagine and to conceive. Because fear oftentimes is rooted in lies. Lies that Satan implants into your mind. And we don't want to, you know, when you fast, you don't do it halfway. Hopefully. Sometimes I've failed. I'm just going to be honest. But, you know, when we fast, let's say solid food, you don't, you know, eat just, I don't know, like, sometimes when you feel like it, you eat it, and the other times you don't. No, but you, there's an absolute denial of whatever it is that you're fasting. And so I believe what God is saying when He says fast fear is He's calling for an absolute denial, a total repentance from the place of fear, where you're no longer giving it any room in your life. You see, doubts and unbeliefs that we are prone to entertain are not harmless, but they're toxic. And you have to take every thought captive. So not only is it about what we disallow from entering our minds, but what is it that you allow? Because as God said, fast fear, you know, there's two things that I've been focusing on. One is what I allow into my mind. Okay, what I, you know, cut off, thoughts that I cut off, but also meditating on the Word of God. Because as you meditate upon the Word of God, He renews your mind. Okay, that's when you can start to perceive the perfect will of God, the mature will of God. And, you know, I haven't gone around to doing this yet, but I got this brilliant idea, probably from the Lord, that, you know, one way you can fast fear is actually to take action, right? And so it's like, man, if I fast fear for 21 days, every day, if I can do something that requires courage, it requires for me to step out of my comfort zone, you know, I wonder where we would be. Okay, I just want to end with this quote. It's from a famous pastor. He says, "The dogs of doom often stand at the doors of our destiny. They start barking when we are about to cross the threshold of our God-given purpose. Most people never fully enter into their promised land because they allow fear to dictate the boundaries of their future. They reduce their lives to accommodate the dogs and mistake the silence for peace. For example, if you are afraid to fly, so you never get on a plane, you won't feel scared because you have scaled back your life to silence the dogs. You may think you are absolutely tranquil, but the truth is that you are still full of fear. Subconsciously, you know that flying will awaken the sleeping monster, and he will torment you until you slay him or obey him. And you feel it's time that we outgrow our fears. It's time that we start to move past our fears, because the Lord is bringing us into greater levels of maturity, or as Ephesians 4:13 says, to mature manhood. You know, just like when you're growing up, you outgrow your clothes because no longer can the clothes fit you. God is saying you are too big. You are too great to remain in that confined space of your fears. He's saying move past those fears. There's no longer any room for fear in your life. It's time to mature out of our fears. When Pastor Benjamin said, New Philly, this is the hour for you to stand, right? Stand your ground, take your place, guard your field. You know, what he's essentially talking about is he's talking about maturity here. Because it's the mature who know how to be steadfast. Ephesians 4:14 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about. You know, it's children who are tossed and blown about by fear, by anxiety. But God is saying it's time to mature out of that place, to be steadfast, and to be in that place where you can guard your field and to eat of the harvest that he has for you. Okay. Why don't you just close your eyes? Just want to give you a time to respond. You know, every place that I've had fear and I've been able to overcome it, it wasn't only the love of God, but it was the love of God that manifested through the community that really allowed me to move past those fears. It's people who came to me, leaders who came to me and said, I believe in you. Now, this is a very uncomfortable statement if you think about it. Because when your leaders say to you, when your pastors say to you, hey, I believe in you, I see the gold inside of you, essentially what they're saying is, I'm not going to let you remain in the place that you are in and become stagnant. But I'm going to see you through to the end. And so what I want to do is, for those of you who've been struggling with a certain fear, where you feel like you become stagnant, where you feel like you've been confined in this small space, unable to move forward, unable to take a hold of the promises of God. You know, I want you to actually stand up, and I want the people around you to pray for you, for the community to surround you, the community to empower you through their prayers. So for those of you who have been struggling with certain fears that you know that you've been carrying around for way too long, God is saying to you today, it's time to move past those fears. It's time to leave it behind. We're in the promised land. There's no room for those fears any longer. So for those of you who desire at this time to fully turn away from those fears, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to stand up.